That's no moon.
Hello there. Welcome to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast, episode 52 and bits. My name's Cockles, and I'm your host for the day. And today we are joined by a usual man who likes to hunt for canines around the borders of Peterborough, and a man who I'm going to suggest maybe doesn't. I don't know. He may do. I'm going to introduce the regular first just by saying this. I have no need to say that he eats Bluey anymore because everyone knows that he eats Bluey because Bluey, as we all know, is made of consistent Australian blue food colouring. Andy Terrell, how are you doing?
Felt a lot better, for sure.
Good, good, good. And you know what? I've got a great joke for you. If you weren't feeling very well, who do you go see?
It's got to be a doctor, right?
And here he is.
Emergency paging Dr. Beat. Emergency.
We've brought along a medical professional who is also a Legion professional. His name is James Whiting, and he is the winner of not one but two GTs this year. James Whiting!
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me on.
All the way down from Somerset.
Somerset.
Obviously, I'm going to put a little shout out because he was here, but for technical reasons, he is now not here. But Evan, we do love you. We miss you. And you could have had some really good medical talks here, and you would have been able to hear another really cool intro if you like.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Technical issues for Evan Paul meant that he could not be here, but we will still discuss his wiki list because he's very proud of it, and so he should be. Today's show is all about the Republic and democracy and how Obi-Wan Kenobi can fight for it and how Anakin Skywalker thinks it should only be his. But in the meantime, we have many people to thank. James, thank you. You're one of them. You're one of our Patreon supporters.
I am, yes. As soon as Andy invited me on the podcast.
I was going to say, because Andy invited you and he went, oh, James should be on. And I got this notification saying, James has joined the Discord. I was like, curious.
What happened there?
Oh, yeah. But it continues with our tradition of having people who are our patron supporters on the show now and again and to talk about the great things that you play and the great events and all this sorts of stuff. But also, many thanks to you guys, because without you, I'm pointing to whoever you want to is listening or watching. Without you guys supporting us, it's hard to do what we do with the sponsorship kits and videos and all this sorts of stuff. And just big thank you. And if you're more interested to know what things are coming up, you can head over to our social media pages where we will let you know what's going on. Sometimes we do the odd birthday post and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, it's good fun. On the video front, Jack's been busy. As we mentioned last time on the show, Asmodee sent us some free product that for us to sort of give away and do whatever we wanted to do. And so Jack has started his painting videos of how to paint Rebel sleeper cells and the Riot Squads from the Empire. And we will also be giving away a Bad Batch squad as well. So that's not today. That's probably going to happen on the Christmas show because, you know, it's Christmas. Season of giving, all that sort of stuff. So stay tuned. In the meantime, Republic. We're going to discuss lists. We're going to discuss, like we have at our previous with the Rebels and, Rebels and Empire. This is the Republic's turn. Now, obviously, the Republic had a, how should we put this politely? It had the arse nerfed out of it recently and probably had the correct balance tuning that it needed. It needed it in some places. It indirectly hit other things when it didn't needed it, but that's what happens when points change. But James, what we'll do is start with yourself because you won a GT and that technically makes you better than Andy and me. So fire away. What was your list? Sorry, actually, you know what? Tell us a bit about yourself first.
Oh, yeah, we forgot that. Right. So I've recently qualified doctor. Unlike Evan, who's been doing it for ages now. I qualified in August. So I've been in the emergency department for the last 4 months. It's been hard, been stressful, but I'm moving on to bigger and better things in neurology soon. So it's 8 to 5. I can't wait. I've been playing Legion for about 4 years now, mainly in Wales. Big up, you know, 5 stormtroopers while I'm here. Don't appreciate that.
Fire stormtroopers.
Yeah, fire stormtroopers, definitely. We've got our own shirts now as well.
Cool. And you've been playing Legion for, what was it? Like a few
4 years.
Years.
4 years since 2020, yeah.
And look at that. He's only been playing half the time I've been playing. One of GT ahead of me. That's not bitter about that at all, but there we go. Anyway. yes, so that's cool. So the list you played at Cardiff, tell us a bit about it. Who inspired it? And what's in it, and then we'll go into tactics, please.
Definitely. So who inspired it? I'd like to think I inspired him first, but it's Matt Haslam, of course. We got chatting after the recent MKGT about his list, which was 4-0 at the time. He was telling me about how Kenobi's still good. I was like, is he? Because, you know, everyone's on the Anakin train. I just played him with Commando. I knew it was good, but I was like, I'm just going to go to Anakin because he's the new hot stuff. But yeah, Matt went 6-0 in that tournament. I was like, right, let's copy that. And then, so I started playing a similar version to his list. And then with a points deduction of about 100 points, I had to try and drop a few things. And I think he had a few medics in there, dropped them, and then just went for a strike team instead of a full arc. So it's very similar to his list. He was definitely the inspiration.
Did you ever try the saber throw approach that he ran?
I do try it. I think it is the way to go, honestly. Definitely.
Really?
100%. 100%. Mainly because now how standbys work, the saber throw is an even better alternative because, you know, you can't activate charge at the moment outside of your activation. So saber throw is just a good way to get a shot in there with that particular card.
I also think it's also it's nearly kind of now guaranteed minimum two. Well, it's guaranteed nearly two wounds these days.
But what are you dropping over that though? So you're still taking barrier and saber throw?
Yeah. So I'll go through my list so people know. So
I think that probably helps.
So it's Obi-Wan with force barrier, saber throw, and aggressive tactics. It's fives with a DP-23 and environmental gear on a normal clone squad and 2 naked core, ARC troopers with clone commander, ARC troopers with clone commander and a DC-15X, and then a strike team with DC-15. And then it's got 3 clone commandos with HQ uplinks. So 10X and 1,000 points. So, sorry, what was the question again? You have to take.
It was just the what was the force power choices when you're taking saber throw?
I think you need barrier with Obi-Wan. You know, it complements Guardian well because you can just negate 5 hits just like that. With saber throw, it's just a bit of a threat range as well. So you've got a range 2 threat bubble, so you can just take a standby on Obi-Wan even outside of, like, you know, his one pip. And that would just, you know, stop anyone from trying anything silly.
So I've got a thing from our game. It's like,
oh, go for it. It's hot take. Go for it.
Yeah, no. So when you placed Obi where you did, and then you started placing units around him.
Yeah, I remember. Yep.
Was any of the reason for you putting your clones near Obi to provide backup? Was it just in Guardian range?
It was. It's a brand new change. I did forget about backup.
it's a good thing you forgot about it because you can't use it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
But I didn't forget about it.
Oh, no, you didn't. No.
I was like, oh, I've got to shoot then to turn off backup because.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy.
I think you definitely made a mistake by stopping shooting them to start shooting Obi-Wan. I was like, if you're going to start shooting Obi-Wan, I'm happy with that, you know.
the intention was to shoot Obi for, in our game.
Okay.
Like, yeah, because where you placed him, I was like, oh, that's a, if I can punish that, I think that'd be great. Mm. But it was when I stopped shooting Obi to shoot the others to put suppression on him to turn back up off. I was like, oh, I don't need to because you can't back up Obi because he has Guardian and therefore.
Yep.
He, so I was like, damn it, there was just, in hindsight, it was like this, is, yeah. this was, I think this was on the drive home. So several days later after we played, I was like, damn it, those shots I could have had at Obi.
I definitely did forget. I think we both forgot some rules in that game, definitely. But
it helps if you remember what the secondary is.
What, sorry?
It helps if you remember what the secondary is in that game.
I don't even remember what it was. What was it? Go on, tell me.
I can't remember what it was, but I remember thinking, I remember knowing the whole way through it going, oh, we're playing Bring Them to Hill. And then I was like, oh, I'll just panic Obi. I'll panic him. And then.
Oh, yeah, we're playing Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. That was a whoopsie on my front for sure.
Yeah. We did some silly things that game, I won't lie to you.
So yeah. for context, for those of you who weren't in the know, James and Andy played each other at the same GT where James won. And Andy, where did you come? Not, this isn't a knock, I just wondered, I can't remember where you came.
Sorry, excuse me, 16th, I believe.
There you go, still top 16, it's all good. What were you running?
I was running Iden.
Were you running the list we spoke about on the show when we did the Empire stuff? Oh, okay, cool. There you go.
Pretty much.
Cool. Back to James, though, because he's the star of the show today.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us what works well for the list. Tell us what is its potential flaws if you haven't sort of planned around, if that makes sense. So what works well?
Right, what works well? So you've got Guardian and you've got Barrier. So there's a lot of defensive tech there. And Obi-Wan could just sit at range one of your army and absorb a load of shots that are meant for other units. You know, you can't... He basically stops any unit from getting one-shotted in a game where lots of things get one-shotted. So that's also a pro. So that's a positive. It's very much attritional. He will keep most of your guys alive for the first three rounds while you're doing, you know, while you're getting receiving plink damage. However, he also allows with, you know, your commandos, the arcs, you can do the plink damage and you can just take it. So it keeps your attrition. You basically don't lose anything in the first two turns and your opponent will start to lose a few units because you've got commandos with high velocity. You've got strike teams. So you basically, it's hard. You have to be really slow, methodical, but you get there. And you've just got loads of power left for turns 3, 4, and 5, where you can start moving your arcs up. You can move your commandos up to range 2 and you can start punishing the enemy when they try to close to you. So that's the pro. You're just attrition, basically. All of my games were attrition. I had some very close games because I spent most of the time, you know, positioning, absorbing shots. So a lot of them came down to kill points in the end, but you know, I didn't really have too many losses in terms of units, mainly because Obi-Wan's just guarding him. You know, you're activating him after he's used barrier to get barrier back, etc. So for that's those, the pros.
Yeah. For those people who haven't played much Kenobi since the change, tell us how Sarisu's changed these days. Because obviously it used to be you spend a dodge, you gain all these sorts of stuff. So tell us how Sarisu works and why. Is it better now for him or is it not?
It's amazing. So Suresu works when he gets shot, you basically get to reroll the entire dice pool once. You'd have to spend a dodge, you just get to do that. So whatever dice pool it is, if you're not happy with the result at the start, you just get to reroll it, which is huge. So
you don't have to spend a dodge or anything with that, you just roll it.
Nope, you just reroll. So if it's 10 dice, you blank out on all of them. Oh, it's fine, I'll just reroll them all. And then hopefully he doesn't die. and then, of course, Suresu works with Guardian. So if a friendly unit at range 1 and line of sight is defending against a ranged attack, he can take 3 hits onto himself with Guardian and roll those dice. And if he's not happy with the result, you can spend a dodge if you've got one to re-roll the results. And you take the second result for both of those.
So there is also the risk that you...
Do worse, yes.
Do bad.
Yeah.
So in your games, has that happened?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. It happens where, everyone takes 3 wounds. It's fine. I'll just re-roll them. And then nope, he takes three wounds. So it doesn't work all the time. But you've got, you know, deflect active for the most part, unless you're playing against Andy's list, where you can always get your surge conversion. So interest with my list, aggressive tactics is always, it's just keeps everyone alive when you can't use deflect, because you've always got a surge on you. So hopefully you don't need to use more than one surge, but there you go. It's another way to get around the high velocities.
Yeah, stuff, that's cool. So. That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
It definitely helps.
Yeah.
So you said about attrition and keeps you up, it keeps you healthier through the game.
Yes.
What else works well for it?
What else works well? Just for Obi-Wan or just for the list itself?
The list in general. The list in general.
Well, I think the fives unit is very important, because if Obi-Wan does die, you've got a courage free commander who can take over, which is very important. I think, you know, he offers a lot just from another unit that can charge with Pierce. Pierce in melee is so good. And you've got two full squads of arcs that I could just run in there, charge and murder something. Yeah. So it's got lots of different ways it can defeat different lists. It's very well balanced. You've got enough impact to kill armor. You've got enough range to kill any gun line, and you've got enough units in melee to melee stuff. So you've got an answer for everything really in the list.
What are its, if you're willing to give them away,
flaws
isn't the word, the things it struggles, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the right word.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It's not negatives, it's still, because it's winning things. So what's its drawbacks? There you go.
It's 10 activations and one of them's a strike team, so, and two are naked core. So again, they're three activations that are quite hard, quite easy to kill, you know, if they're not around Obi-Wan. So you need all those three units around Obi-Wan, otherwise they just get one shot. Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan is still terrible in melee. He's so bad. So you just, yeah, you try and keep him out of melee, even when there's force users who want him in melee. You just run him away. You just bring him out of melee again and just run him away, because he doesn't hit very well in melee at all.
Is he better or worse than Fleets in melee?
Well, it's very difficult because Fleets are here.
So if you've, is it worth in your list? So I'm just playing games around in the thing. Yeah. Is it worth almost dropping the strike team to beef up the other squads, maybe with either medics or the, you know, the naked squads, or medics or a couple of heavies? Is that a trade off that you've never considered or thought about? Because you're taking those.
Yeah.
If you take the strike team off, for example, and you, which is, what's that, 50, what's that, 64 points?
64, I think, or 62.
Something like that. So check. You can potentially, you could put on two medics and two, you could definitely put on two medics and two heavies. So the two wounds that you lose on the strike team, you gain two wounds on the medics, and then the extra two wounds that you're healing. So have you ever thought about that? And if not, why not? And Andy, would you do that? Is it something to consider? What do you reckon?
I think it's something that I've considered, but I just don't think nine axe is competitive enough in a list which doesn't have enough punch. Like, I suffered a lot with punch in this list. There's not a lot that can kill large activation units, and I'll tell you about my game with the Ewoks, but that was crunch time. It was really difficult because it doesn't have a lot of firepower compared to the Anakin list, where Anakin just can run off and kill stuff. So I think losing another act is going to be very difficult, especially when I want to play standing orders for turn one, just to be able to, like, you know, get ahead of the activation game. I think with nine acts is difficult. The medics are fine, although in all of my games, Obi-Wan never died. So I didn't think, you know, Obi-Wan needed it this much. So I did consider it, but I think since the tournament, I'm quite happy with the 10 axe and the naked core, because they're just going to provide tokens. That's all I use them for. They sat, you know, in the middle of the army and just took an aim and a dodge. Really boring, but that's what they did.
I was going to ask if you missed the medic since the points changes, because I know Matt was running it with like three medics originally stuff. So
it's difficult. 20 points now is hard.
It is, but I imagine based on your comment just now, it's like you don't need it if Obi never died. But then, would you have spent it previously on bringing back commandos instead then?
Yeah, potentially. I think the commandos also don't die in this list. I mean, no one, if you're going to shoot the commandos, it kind of needs to be a concerted effort, because otherwise they're just going to spend Catan, take one guy. And if they're at range of Obi-Wan after that, you've still got Guardian 3 and Barrier. And the next big dice pool and subsequent dice pools shouldn't kill them. So I do see, if medics were cheaper, I think I may have one in there. But I just think with 20 points, I just don't know if it's worth it anymore.
Yeah, that's fair.
The other option is also you just stick a Fluttercraft in there. Why not? I mean, the other option I was just looking at, because you said about struggling against Ewoks and AT-RT with a Flamer, but you need to find 13 points to...
Commanders are just too good. They're just too good. Nothing's going to stop me from dropping them right now.
No, I'm not saying that. I just said dropping the Commanders. I was on about the strike team and find 13 points somewhere, but that's just a suggestion. But that was just me just like looking around and thinking, oh, what if you did this and what if you did that? Because that's my job to suggest it.
Was Cardiff before the points change?
Cardiff was after. Points change
was after. The first GT after the points change,
Yeah, it wasn't much. We had to submit it like the week of the points change, didn't we?
The Hemel Hempstead one was literally the week of, and then he had the one, and then he had Cardiff the other day.
And he's now frozen.
He's back. He's back.
No, he's back.
He's
don't jinx it. Don't jinx it.
No.
Cool. So, memorable moments from your games. Give us two positives and two negatives that made you go, two positives make you go, heck yeah. And then two negatives that made you go, oh shit. So,
two positives.
Too good, too bad, from to quote Match of Day 2.
It's difficult. I enjoyed playing Andy. I really wanted to play someone from That Snow Moon again. I enjoyed playing Andy. Really, really nice game. That was definitely positive. And
so
you're
down. So you played Andy. You played, who's the other one you played? Is it Jack or Ollie or Tom?
I played Ollie at the MKGT.
Cool. Okay. So and you've just got me, Jack.
You're only 2-0 against us, I believe.
I am. I want to face Jack. I want to face Tom. Yeah.
So you've done the two easy two, and ironically,
exactly. These are giving
you're going to lose to the next two.
I don't know what this is going to be now. I mean, Rebels are going to stomp me. It's going to happen.
You haven't played me. Did you mention me in there?
That's of course. Yeah. Have we not played?
No.
I forgot about you, Cockles.
No. I only do all the bloody work. So anyway, but anyway, so too good to positive. So yeah, it's fun playing Andy, as if that was a positive.
that's one of his negatives.
And yeah, next.
I think I really enjoyed playing my last game. Unfortunately, a few guys had to drop. I was hoping to like face Lila or someone like that maybe, but unfortunately I think, you know, with the weather conditions, she had to leave early, so I think she was a contender to go at least either winner or second place. I think that's a negative. But I played a really nice Ewok player called Joe in the final game, and he gave me such a hard time of it. It was a really good list. It really got me thinking a lot about wanting to play them, and I may have bought a load of Ewoks now.
Nice.
Just because I love how they work. They've got so many nice interplay in parts, and that's why I love Kenobi, just because he's so intricate. So I really enjoy playing Ewoks, and it made me want to play them myself. There's too many highlights. I just love the community. I mean, like I love playing games against people. So
love the community. That is the correct answer. That's the because I think everyone
ding ding ding.
you've passed. You can come back again. So that's your list. Would we like to look at other people's clone lists? So should we look at?
While we're still on Cardiff,
go on Cardiff.
Because obviously, I did go as well. I didn't do nowhere near as good as James. but I thought the overall atmosphere, everyone was great. Everyone was really welcoming, because obviously a lot of the guys have, a lot of the traveled up out of the area. So I've known a few of them before, like Gwaine and Jose, obviously, who was running it. Met you before, James, Andrew as well. I'm trying to think who else off the top of my head I'd met. Paul Buller, obviously. Yeah. And that was kind of it. So it was a really small group of names I knew. But then there were so many people who came up to us and was like, oh, it's lovely that you've come over here. And everyone was really welcoming. And every game that I had was really fun. I think, especially against Matt as well. I think he was saying, me and him were talking about how Krennic should be painted up like Quella de Ville. Because for some reason we thought he was a smoker. And I was like, yeah, but if he is a smoker, he's not a cigar smoker. He's like a cigarello smoker. And then I was like, well, he's got a white cape, so it's not going to take me much effort to just paint some black dots onto the back of his cape, which then obviously fits perfectly with me running Krennic as well. So that's definitely going to happen.
If you do, you need to run around with the song going, awesome Krennic, awesome Krennic. If he doesn't get you, his suppression bomb will, that sort of thing.
So like that game was really tense, but really hilarious at the same time as we're laughing the whole way through. But then like, is it Morgan Goodfield?
Oh, Morgan, yeah.
Yeah.
Morgan. So, he's not absolutely. Known, really, but...
Well, no, but yes. So I want to give him a shout out because he did tell me he listens. I don't know how old he is. I think he's like 13, 14, if I remember. Yeah, if I asked him, I think he's about the same age as my son. And he does listen. So I try to keep our swearing down to a minimum these days. Now I know that our younger audiences.
Yeah, more and more small people listen to our show. And I feel like we have to be really, really behaved.
Yeah. But it was great because after every game, he'd come up to me and he'd want to tell me about his game and how he did. He was, it really was really nice to have that is obviously a listener. And he went 3-3, which I think is really impressive for a kid that age. Good. Yeah, and like some of the players fit in that field as well. If you looked at the event beforehand, like the top 8 players were like, 500 ratings, then it was like another 8 players with 400 ratings, and then there was like 100 point difference between like 20 players and below, and then there was 8 players who'd never played a game of Legion before who went to that GT. So there's a very big mix of players, and for him to come 3-3, I think is quite a testament to him and his dad, I assume, he plays with a lot.
Him and his dad come down like I'd say nearly every week. Yeah, both of them come down and arrange games. They're both really, really lovely people, great players.
On that note then, if you are the father of, is it Morgan, what's his surname, sorry?
Morgan Goodfield. Yeah.
If you're Morgan's dad, and Morgan, if you're listening, can you get in contact with Andy or myself and stick us over your address and we'll send you a little dice bag. Dice bag, because that's pretty cool. Because that'd be fun. I've got some, and if you're listening, Paul Buller, yours got lost in the post. I'll send you another one. It's fine.
you keep saying that, Paul. I know he says
a collection at home.
Funny because I do have a collection at home. But no, it's all good. But anyway, it sounds like it's a really cool event.
I think the only and then also Toby as well for a shout out. Never met the lad before. Had a great conversation with him all weekend about list building, about the podcast, about his list and how he had James in his pocket. He was like, the Obi list doesn't scare me.
I love that.
Yeah. I was talking to him. I said to him, out of all the lists you've got to face, I think when it was like you, him, trying to think who the other top two was left, like when there's 4 of you left, and I was like, Ewok player was Paul, undefeated, but
must
it was like
Paul came second, so it must be Paul.
No, because obviously they played a 6-round, second place gets a little bit weirdish. But yeah, he was like, I think he said the only one that worried him was maybe Lila was Lila was undefeated at that top point as well. So yeah. I think he was like, Lila's probably the only one because it's a little bit different. And then he was like, oh yeah, don't care. I'm not worried about the OB, because I was like, oh, what about James's list?
I love that. So nice balls.
Yeah, no, he's got balls. But yeah, good player as well. For a lot of confidence to back up the list. So yeah, everyone there was a great laugh. Everyone was amazing. And I recommend anyone to go to Cardiff. Jose did a really good job. And Gwaine was bored out of his mind, but I think he still did a good job of TOing.
It's like, I'll come to Andy's right here. Let's just get
There were so many times, especially during the first game, where someone would shout consular and my body would just automatically twitch. And especially if people were next to me, it's like, oh, as you say, like, oh, Andy's there. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, what's the problem? Like, I'm not.
I'm going to put out there then. So if you're an event and you call consular, you don't need calling. No, hang on.
No.
If you are an event and someone calls consular, don't respond. Next time you're running an event, everyone needs to just go, dog muncher.
I don't want to say like I don't care. Like I got annoyed by it. Like that, it was completely the opposite. Like everyone always, if they saw us in the middle of my game because I'm playing, not running, which is like different, they'd always go, Andy, do you mind? And I'd be like, no. And I could probably, most of the time, I'd listen to them while doing my movement tool or rolling my dice or whatever. Because I think it probably happened in our game, James. And then I'd shout my answer at them while I'm doing our game. Yeah. So proper multitasking. So if I was in a point where I can't double concentrate, because I need to concentrate on my game, then I'm just going to say go and speak to a consular. And there was one or two times I did say it. I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't got the time to pull up the exact rule reference for you. Go and get Jose to do it. It should be this page, and I'd even shout out a page number as well. Yeah, things have got that bad in life.
It's because you're a little bit of a nice guy. It's fine. But
good event. Great event all round. Really enjoyed it.
Well done.
Yeah, they did great.
Bravo, Cardiff. Bravo. You kind of jumped ahead. I was going to talk about that at the end of the section on the Republic list, but that's fine. So that's cool. So we should talk about other people's lists.
Go for it.
Let's go with Evan Paul's list, because he really wanted to share the list with his Wookiees. I will call it out. Andy, James, you can then offer your analysis afterwards. So it is 11 activations at a bang on 1,000 points with a Wookiee chieftain with Seize Initiative. It's the clone. It's the Battle Force, by the way, for the Wookiee Battle Force. Then it's a clone infantry with a shotgun. Arcs with a commander and scopes, Wookiee warriors with the bowcaster and recon intel, then four squads of Wookiee warriors, the noble fighters, so the melee Wookiees with the battle shield, and then triple fluttercraft with the NAS gunner, which is the one that does rear facing impact 1, pierce 1, 2 red, 2 black, range 1, 3, and emergency transponders. The command cards are well, he hasn't put them on there, but let's just go all the ones that go all the one size ones. So, Andy, thoughts on the Wookiee list and where it sits in the world of today?
It's good one start. Thing if I, no, it's hard 'cause I'm kind of, there's two lists that I wish I could run, and I don't because I don't own the models, and it's both Wookiees and Ewoks, and both of them have been mentioned tonight. And it's because of like this list with the Fluttercraft's a part of it, the flexibility of the melee, but then if the opponent's list out melees you somehow, then you can still use the melee Wookiees to shoot, because they're just as effective at doing that as well. Like it's flexible, or it's range too limited, but they're still quite good at it. And if, as I say, if somehow they out melee you, not quite sure how, but maybe if they're all ARC troopers and you just want to shoot them and not punch them, then it's got that kind of threat to it. I was just trying to figure out why C's on the chieftain. And I know he said...
is it for the one pip?
So he mentioned that when I was listening to him on Scoundrels, and they were talking about this pre-points update.
On what?
Because you can only order the Fluttercraft or Special Forces, the one pip for the
one. Yeah, the one pip. When a friendly unit is orders, when a friendly unit is issued an order by the commander, so and it can only go to Special Forces or the support. If it is wounded or has more, or one of its minis has been defeated, it gains one aim, dodge, and surge. So how does that play in with this?
I think it gives him perfect order control, because then he can give an order to because every other turn he'll give an order to the commander and flutters probably, and then he's got again perfect order control as best as he wants.
You can't. I don't think you can, because if you give it to one,
he's got three flutters, hasn't he?
Yeah. So
he gets triple flutter. So
it's not. I'm assuming they're not alive by then.
This is true.
But I suppose it's you give one to a flutter that you want to activate straight away. You seize on the commander. So in your bag is just Special Forces. Oh, he's got a core in there now as well.
Core, yeah. So you'll have the core. So it's not perfect, but I'm just trying to think.
Yeah. I think he used to have, I guess he must have previously, but.
Indomitable, Duelist Charge, Scale. I'm trying to think if there's anything it does. Oh, man, it's got a head of an. It's got Kenobi's lightsaber without the
commander an aim, dodge, and a surge. I'm struggling to see the use of C's.
That makes sense, because when a friendly is issued an order by the commander, but you can't. That doesn't make sense, though, because if he's seizing initiative, he's not issuing an order to himself. So if the it gains.
He's a Wookiee
aim, dodge, surge.
If he's wounded, yeah.
So potentially that's how that works then, if that's what you're looking for.
But yeah, I mean, it's probably the only thing I don't understand, and it'd help if he was here. but the clone trooper infantry, a nice little change.
Oh, yeah, I was just having another card. I think with that one pip, you could basically get to give it to two units, get the effect.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of the vibe there. So yeah,
give one to the commander and one to
wounded, and it'll be one of the Wookiees or the Flutter. So you basically, yeah, you get basically get two for the price of one with that card.
Yeah, fine. So I think there's a lot of nice flexibility in it, and I think with 11 acts and the way Doc was talking about with playing the Fluttercrafts, where you want to kind of control them as best as late as you can on the earlier turns, so then you can dive on your opponent's weakest point, but you kind of dive in a weird right angle-ish way. Actually I haven't got a movement stick to hand, but when you come out of and do a right angle turn, your base will end up
you drifting
in the side arc. And then you've got repositions. You do a nine. So if your opponent's in your side arc when you finish your move, when you get your free reposition at the end, you can then shoot them at your rear. So that's your compulsory move. If you know you can escape safely with one move, then you could you shoot and then you attack, move away, and you basically can end up pretty much where you started. Especially with a speed three compulsory, and then you could do a speed two or speed three back to where you started, essentially.
Very X-Wing.
It is if you like X-Wing, then yes, flying a flutter is quite... But being able to slow yourself down or speed yourself up with the... he has got them ones, hasn't he? He's got the speedy explode up ones.
I assume so. If it's the Battle Force, I assume so.
It gives you that nice little flexibility in that how you play them and how safe you keep them as well. So
yeah, attack running increase or decrease its maximum speed by one until the end of the activation.
There's quite a lot of flutters at Hemel. I think there's six or nine of them. There's two or three Wookiee Battle Forces.
I do feel like every single Wookiee Battle Force has to have triple flutter though at the moment. I just can't see the Wookiees themselves carrying a Wookiee list, because I just think there's a problem with the actual Wookiees themselves. They're just not strong enough in this current game where they can just still get one-shotted. Because you used to rely, I used to play Wookiees loads, you used to be so reliant on cover taken too all the time.
Yeah.
Small dice pools never used to get you. It's like, fine, I'm always in heavy cover, it's fine. But now... you might get one Wookiee in, which is not enough. So I've struggled with them. I can see why he's got, the full, 12 wound squads with the battle shields, because I think that's the only way to run them. I think running the, you know, just the naked ones, which I used to do all the time, you can't do anymore. I just don't think that's
really, I think you just got to pile in onto the objectives of two or three squads, because your opponent can probably kill a squad off a POI. So like turn one, you'll just double move up behind a line of sight blocker as best you can. I've not played with the list, so it's hard to know. But this is how I would play it if I owned the models. So like turn one is all about just positioning and getting onto the board, ready to pounce onto the POI's turn two to score. Because if your opponent tries and scores them, then if you position yourself correctly on turn one, you should be able to charge them.
Yep.
So you just kind of go early with the stuff that you don't want to charge with, and get them in a better position for turn three. And you just kind of set yourself up that way the whole way through, I think, and kind of set a bait, I guess, is it?
But I think you definitely want to be playing breakthrough and anything that splits up and then
these
four, 100%. And I think you've got to be very happy with, well, very lucky with terrain, have loads of line of sight blockers. You know, the American tables, I think you will struggle. There's just not enough cover. You need at least a few squads behind permanent line of sight blocker, I think, if you wanted to get them in.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest issue with the list, is maybe the terrain is the biggest factor in the list, not the actual like opponent that you face or anything like that.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the arcs could do with a sniper. Having a bit more range pierce in that list might be a bit more balanced, because you've got lots of melee threats and the arcs are basically just another melee threat with the commander.
He has got a bowcaster unit in there though. Right, he's got one unit of shooty works.
Yeah.
Which is very expensive. 111
so
points.
Expensive. And they don't have scout. It's like, oh god.
No, I mean, well, he's paid for recon intel on that one unit, which makes eight sense. Points. Yeah.
it's rough.
But
yeah, I think in my ideal world, I love Wookiees. I've got a beautiful painted army up there. And I'm just so sad that they don't have any recon or anything to get them on the table, because they just need it. They need something. They need a bit of love, either a reliable one, they just need something. But I just don't think they're going to get it. No.
It's weird, because because we've got the list open, I'm looking at whatever options you can take in the Battle Force, and it's all weird. I mean, Yoda's no point ever taking now.
Not at all.
Chewie makes sense, because he's slightly cheaper than the Chieftain. And then you've got a Bark, okay, the ISP, and then the tank. Like,
the tank is the tank. The tank. Why? Why is the tanking there? The tanking.
I think it's the best one I've seen. I think it was Dennis last year from Germany. He's converted all of his Barks to have Wookiee riders on them. So he had Barks riding on his. So it's a whole
Barks.
So
that's very cool. I think the saber tank's an interesting thing, because it's a big line of sight blocker. You just hide a squad or two behind that. So that's interesting as a play potentially.
Is it worth 155 points?
No, it's not. I'd say it was good. I think the Battle Force needs a bit of love.
I mean, you could take the ISP and it'd be. Oh, it doesn't block line of sight, does it, for a silhouette?
It does, doesn't it?
It blocks it, but I don't think the model's tall enough.
No, it's a very short model. It's not a tall model.
Yeah. I'm also looking, mine's somewhere in my pile of shame.
What is that?
But yeah, I think the ISP's model is technically not tall enough, and that's probably what the issue is with that. But
I don't think it is. I've got two of them for some strange reason.
Yeah, that was a bad investment.
It wasn't, because they were £12. It's actually, but it was like,
It does. Yeah, you could be right.
I think you're right. It does block. Like, you've got loads of. It does.
That's 65 points. That's a lot cheaper than a saber tank.
And it's got that beam that may or may not be good. I don't know yet.
Hang on a second. I'll tell you how much an ISP is when you've kitted out. An ISP, when you've got the twin beam, is 103 points.
You don't need it. If you're literally just bringing it for a line of sight blocker, that's it.
Oh, what, yep. So you just put it and you're going to have two black dice.
Don't care.
65 point. Why take that? Why not just take an ATRT instead?
Because it is speed free. It is speed free and it is quite hard to kill. It might be worth it. It might not be good, but it's speed free. You double move to a POI and you've got cover one, flat, 7 health.
I'm not against point, no, the logic not of this at the moment.
On the free.
No, weak point rear sides. No. Mm. White saves.
Yeah, but you're bringing it to A, escort your Wookiees up, and then once it's done that, it just goes off and sits on a POI.
Okay, but what are you... I feel like I'm being the voice of reason, which is really weird. What are you taking away then to have that? Are you taking away are you taking away the Fluttercraft?
No. God, no.
So that's your first issue.
I think you get rid of the core.
I think it's the core.
Better order control that way. Oh, well, not better order control, but the same order control if you get rid of the core.
I do cross the Pierce shotgun there. I don't know.
Technically, you could get... Technically, that's only 12 points you need to save. So you could drop some scopes and the recon intel. And there you go. You've got an ISP with one of the weapons. It's not the beam, but any of the other two weapons. And you've got an ISP to walk your Wookiees up behind instead of the clone troopers.
I like it.
I think it's random. And
it's random. And it's weird.
I am dubious.
Fully dubious behind it, but I'd love to hear if it works. Because even if it just protects your Wookiees for a turn...
I might try it. I'll try it.
Yeah, do it. Let us know. You can just message me and be like, that's the worst idea you've ever suggested on the podcast, Andy.
I felt like I helped orchestrate it. So yeah, I'll see if it works. I'll have to make two Fluttercraft. I only got one bloody painted, so I'll get them out of the box.
Well, you don't have to paint them. Like, well,
This is true.
Can play with unpainted models. Ask Ollie.
He's a painted with sleeves. Yeah. Go on then, Andy. Why don't you tell us what you would do as a list then? I'm currently trying to figure out what I'm not trying to say what I would do, but I'm trying to bring up my old MKG.
Well, I want to now fit in two ISPs on my list.
You're a psychopath.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because after Cardiff, Lila and Nav were talking about running up Cody ISPs as well. So it's not just me.
I did try it against. Somebody recently, just like the ISP and Cody, it's a nice interaction. However, I literally just substituted Obi-Wan out and put Cody in an ISP. So it's the exact same list.
No, I think they were talking about having the observe pilot on the ISPs. So after they make an attack, they gain an observe
pilot. It's the only pilot you can take.
Yeah. But then that pairs well with Cody's command cards. Because then all of the attacks, so you put observe tokens on the first units for the first time with the first beam attack.
Yep.
Then the second beam attack happens and they're all suppressive. And then...
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. But if Cody goes first, then both of the beam attack, both of the ISP attacks can be suppressive because you've got enough observe tokens out due to Cody.
Okay, that's an interesting interaction.
That was the logic, and all of Cody's abilities is one pip and his free pip are about having observe tokens to spend. Mm. So by having the observe tokens going off of the beam attacks, it was like that was what they're building the list around. So it's literally two command cards.
It may work.
It could work.
It could work.
Yeah, and anyone's going to make a weird list, it's Lila.
Well, sorry?
If anyone's going to make a weird list work, it's Lila, isn't it? So.
It's very niche, isn't she? I still think you'd need like a melee threat with fives and a shotgun.
Yeah, you've got loads more points. ISPs aren't expensive. Mm. So, I think the intention is you sit and have them as a range 4 POI grabber. So you don't move them forward or anything. You just have them at the back, scooting around. Keep them out of danger. But I didn't build an ISP list as much as I wish I had done now. But I did build a Cody list. and I've still got 8 points, which I was just trying to figure out where to put. So I've just got a naked Cody at the moment, which I think running him as bare as possible or with Hunter is probably an option. Because 105, I think, is too expensive for him.
Yeah,
he needs to come down. Yeah. So keep him as cheap as possible. We've got Bad Batch in there because Bad Batch are good. And I had loads of points spare and I needed a heavy hitting unit, which is what they are. Mm-hmm. We've then got Z6 unit of not phase ones, they're just clone troopers these days, with Boyle, just because we can use Cody's 2-pip and that'll pair well. We've got Waxer because I had some spare points and I didn't know what I couldn't fit anything else in. So I've got a Z6 unit with Waxer in it. He does come with Scout. So it's an extra body with Scout. If he receives an order, you remove a suppression as well. So there is some kind of little thing in there, but not much. I'll keep it. I'll be polite about it. But it was just I didn't have enough points for a new unit, so it's kind of like
you could get a medic, I suppose, if you think it's useful to heal Cody.
Yeah, that's it. Like you can swap out a medic for Waxer, but then is Scout better? Than a single wound to get a unit of Z6 up the board trying to shoot turn one. The other thing, it's not RPS. Have they got rid of the DLT?
DC-15 does exist. No,
the DLT doesn't quite. More to Z6 shotgun. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I was thinking, where's the range 4
up? Oh, the RPS.
So then for my third core infantry unit, we've gone for the fives medic shotgun approach. So as many models as we can without being a mega squad. Mainly because when I played you, James, it was scary. and it's not just the range 2 shotgun or the melee. It's also the range 3 is really good.
It's
8 black your version is, isn't it?
8 black, and if you've got surges lying around, which you will do.
Yeah.
It surges.
So you've got one yourself, you're going to share one, or you can share an aim, or, you know, like, it's a really good, consistent, like, dice pool.
Well, I run in with, like, if we have 3 surges available, because you've got aggressive tactics, so.
Yep, there you go. So it's even better for you. So yeah, I took that from you. I probably should put e-gear on there because it helps stop them being slowed down or anything like that.
It was quite useful in the game against you, definitely.
Yeah, because it helps you get to the middle, didn't it?
Through that piece of terrain, yeah.
Yeah. I've then got, obviously, the two most popular things going at the moment, which is ARC Troopers with clone commanders in them still. I've not taken a single commando for... no reasons other than I'm a masochist in this list. I've then taken a lone naked bark speeder, and the logic for this is it will receive an order every single turn from Cody with his direct, which probably means I need a long range comlink on it to make sure this idea works, which helps spend these last couple of points.
Are you thinking to why not do a relay? No.
It's so that it can receive an order every turn. It's so that you can always control where it dives with 3 speed, 3 moves and the size of its base. It should be able to jump from POI to POI very quickly and easily. Mm-hmm. So if you've got like the missions where you only need to contest, having your bark kind of scoot off and grab one at the back away from your opponent is quite safe. And because you're at 10 activations as well with this list, it enables it to just kind of like scoot and go and grab something. Or if you're playing them ones where you can dive and still score, it doesn't matter, like the intercept the signal one. You can nominate the bark, hold it back, last thing to go every turn, and you know it's safe, or you can go first of it, like last first of it, to kind of keep moving it around. So it's not a damage output, it's just an 65 point objective kind of thing. And if it does join the firefight, it's rolling 4 dice. Yeah, that's fine. It's, you know. And if someone wants to put the effort into killing that, then I think that's also fine, because then it's not killing the rest of your army. And then the last thing is two AT-RTs with AT-RT laser cannons. Because again, we need some vehicles if we've got Cody. We need to synergize. Because Bad Bat certain to hide behind if you want to, or Five certain to hide behind as he walks up. So yeah, there's a bit of synergy in there.
How many acts was it?
10 activations in total, 992, because I've still got 8 points that I'm just trying to fill in, which I think like long range comms and stuff for direct or whatever will be.
Well, we'll say that's yours, and I'll pit it against. I've got a 10-1 as well. And I'm noticing that, in fact, there's no Jedi here. I've gone the same. And I literally made this today because I've gone through a little thing now where I'm just like, before bed, I was like, I'll make a list just for fun, do something new, see what I can come up with. This is what I came up with, and then we can see what the differences are. Rex, R2-D2, the Bad Batch, because they're good, and you are right, I wouldn't say that they're not OP, but they're just really bloody good at the moment, so they'd be good. Two infantry with a Z6 and a medic. Two infantry with a DP-23 and extra man. Two naked arcs, and then a big freaking tank. The Saber with Iota Secura, the beam, and the emergency transponder. And that's 10 activations at 995. I've got 5 points spare that I'll find somewhere in there. Probably a transponder maybe on R2 or C's. How much is C's these days?
It's 5.
There you go. C's on 5 on R2. So, yeah. Except in where you were talking about having the AT-RTs as cover, mine's thinking is the tank, pop out, shoot, go back again, that sort of thing. I also think that Rex with his take that clankers, upping the two squads of the DP-23 guys from range 2 to range 3, so giving you a range 3 shotgun pierce, I think is pretty cool. And then if you need to, you can give it to the Z6 instead. There's no, it's up to you which one you give to. Arcs there for melee, tanks there because the tanks, I don't think the tank is poor. I think it's just, it's not popular, and I can understand why. But I had fun with it when I was at MKGT. And I think the way it can be a mobile site line of sight blocker for the Bad Batch and R2-D2.
What turn are you playing take that clankers?
You know what? I think, honestly, it's a really good question. And I think it's probably turn 2, maybe turn 3.
Because my issue with that is with what you're trying to sell it to me as.
Yeah,
I think take that clankers is really good at the moment.
It is, yeah.
The shotgun range 3 is quite televised.
Mm.
And it's
not disagreeing, but the wonderful bonus is it can go on Bad Batch as well. And it can go on, it's quite flexible. I could go, you know what, here's an ARC trooper to go do some stuff, or I don't think you would use it there, but I'm just, or you give it to a Z6, sorry, and just say there's some range 4 on all of everything there, or you can give it to the Bad Batch, and the Bad Batch can sort of pull back, take a shot, pull back again, and then they're out of range themselves and they're out of danger. Do you see if that makes sense?
Yes, but
so when you do turn one, you're not normally, but like turn one, everyone likes to do, if the Bad Batch players will go Bad Batch card bang down, give them all the freaking tokens in turn one, bring them on when they want to come on. Unless they've already been Captain Rexed in terms of his scout party, that sort of thing. We do what we do. Let them do what they do. Play their card. Do whatever you can damage wise. And then in turn two, you could take that clankers on them, pull them back. They get the triggers there. What is it? Not tactical. What's it called? Not relentless. Steady.
Steady.
Thank you. Trigger steady and then pull back again. Then you've potentially, hopefully, move them either out of range or behind a big freaking tank where there's line of sight going, no, 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 you're not getting me.
But so, you can't increase the, but what are they benefiting from taking that clankers? Right? Yeah.
They get their range goes up.
Only if you take an aim action.
You've got to take an aim action.
Oh, so you can aim, move back, and then move them back.
Yeah.
I mean, there you go. There's the logic. So move back, slightly out of range, that sort of thing. Or move behind a line of sight blocker, sorry.
The one thing I don't like is the naked arcs for me.
Yeah,
them on that.
They were. They're just the melee. They're more of a melee. The idea would be that they are a melee backline central defensive midfielder, linebacker, if you will. they're my monstrous Caicedo. They're more N'Golo Kanté. They sit at the back as the melee counter. So any Jedi that decides to go. Anakin decides to like go hello there and turn up. Oh, he wouldn't say hello there, but you know what I mean. He turns up in the back lines, and the arcs go smack, smack, smack.
After running, so I took Riot Troopers to Cardiff, and they performed as well as I probably expected them to do, which was nothing.
Expect nothing, and you'll be happy to take something.
Yeah, the only game they did sell well in was my first game, which unfortunately wasn't the, like, it was against someone who was a brand new player, and they managed to, I won the roll off on a one pip versus Vader's Implacable. I just wanted to punch him to do some wounds. I ended up killing him because he only had 3 wounds left. So I felt really bad because the guy... He brought an AT-ST to have fun. He brought Vader to have fun and brought Palpatine to have fun. I killed the AT-ST turn one.
You horrible bastard.
I then nuked Palpatine turn two. In the meantime, I'm also dealing wounds to Vader at the same time.
What's your name? Ollie? That's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. He then played... Implacable, which into my cunning one pip from Krennic. So I went first, pulled a trooper. I went right troopers, double move, go and punch. I just wanted to punch with, and I just literally everything he wanted to do that was fun. I was like, no. And I apologized. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I should let you have fun. He was like, no, it's fine. But other than that game, they don't. I brought them for linebacking reasons, like. But they're not enough of a deterrent to scare someone. Like 4 black, 2 red is not going to scare an Anakin. It's not even going to scare an Obi who can't even, who hits like a wet noodle. And 8 black from arcs. Okay.
I was about to say the dice pool is different.
It's different, but the logic's the same because it's 8 black. And if you get the counter charge and you're on full health because you've sat behind a PR, a thing for the rest of the game, waiting for my Vader to charge in or something, 8 black with 2 aims is okay into a Vader or another Force user. It's not going to be enough to make me not do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there's a commander in there, and that's now 10 black dice with a surge and 2 aims,
yep.
The average is now looking a lot scarier. Because that's looking at 4 to 5 wounds on Vader.
What if it is, call me captain in melee, because you've got Rex nearby. It turns into 10 there to 8 black, 3 red.
Yeah, I mean... Of course, that's always an option, but that's more of Magical Christmas Lamb, really, isn't it? Like, that card's always a threat to any melee person, and you've got to be in range 2 of Rex. Mm-hmm. And if I've got a choice between diving an arc unit and Rex, I'm probably going to just kill Rex to stop that card.
And it's only 5 health.
And he's not impervious.
No, he dies.
So
also, those arcs are just going to sit behind a line of sight blocker and not do anything. If you have the DC-15, on the other hand, they can still put 2 guys out and shoot something.
So what are you suggesting? Yeah. Take the full squad down.
I'd get rid of R2. He's rubbish. Get rid of him.
I just think it's too hard to put a saber down, even when he's in. Flipping infiltrate. It's just
Church of Podfrey said the other day on the Discord channel in his new church choir section he's got that I think it takes 4 turns for him to be able to score. So he infiltrates and then moves for him to get to a deployment zone. So that and that's with using his
I have the conversation piece from him. Our Lord and Savior Podfrey. I'll quote what he says. He says,
go on, then.
Can we start a campaign to bring R2 back into the game? One, these are his suggestions as to what he should be. He basically offers suggestions. The secret mission can only be scored around 4 or 5.
That's what he's getting at, though. He can only score turn 4 if he plays his one pip, isn't it, where he gets blast off or whatever it is. Or round 5, he can't score it because then without it, because you've got to start the turn to score secret mission. So you've already got to be in the deployment zone. You can't get to it turn 5. So, if you're not basically about to hit it, it's too late.
Oh my god! I've just seen what I could do. I've just seen what I should do instead. Take R2 out and put two repair. What they call
dudes in?
Engineers.
Yeah.
There's an activation, believe me.
But then, as a slight tangent,
actually came.
I do think bounty hunters might be more viable as a hot take, which is not really helpful for Gar players in this list building episode.
No, not really.
But as a slight tangent, I think the logic for it is a very short piece, and hopefully I can find some, I'll put some games into it to prove it. I saw a lot of games at Hemel with higher end players and at Cardiff are lost by very small margins, where it's usually one VP, two VP here. So, for instance, I was looking at Dave Grant's reason. He lost to someone at Hemel. He lost by one VP because they scored with the secondary one turn earlier, and Dave was never able to rescore it. So therefore, if you take that kind of logic and have a bounty hunter, that one VP gets you, that's one edge. Yes, the VP difference is larger, so they have less impact. But in the tighter games, and I found this as well, where a game is a lot tighter, it's usually you're chasing one VP here or there between the two of you, that bounty actually probably is more viable than we're talking about. But as I say, not helpful for Gar players.
No. I have got something helpful for Gar players. I've really been considering taking the strike team out of my list that I mentioned earlier and putting Padme back in.
What are you doing?
Padme.
For the same logic, though.
The same list. So just take the strike team out for, 63, balance some points, and then put Padme in there. 10
just
still.
Just so she can run off and go and do the objective.
Yeah. Only because three games, like you said, it came down to kill points.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a Padme that I could just run at somebody into the end zone, then that's just that extra VP.
Counterpoint.
I'm not saying it's good. Just saying it's something that I want to try.
Counterpoint. No cover. Well, no cover and white saves.
But then, so...
At range, she's got backup, right? And she's got Obi-Wan too. And Guardian. And Barrier.
But I don't think you want to run her near your army. I think you want to run her as if you are going to do this, because I think you're following the same kind of logic of why to run her. If you're all deploying, say, I don't know, towards the right-hand side of the map for whatever reason, or slightly more right-jointed, you'd throw her as far left as possible, because it's going to take your opponent more than, what is she these days? Is she 60 points. It's going to take your opponent more than 60 points to kill her. So if it pulls, say, 120 points out of the your opponent's list to go and deal with her, then has she done her job?
I don't know. I think you can match that because she's not got a great weapon. She's only got a range.
Not a bad weapon.
No. But she's not got the defensive tech, really. Oh, she's agile. I'm re-looking at a card going, oh, she's got agile and nimble now these days. So maybe.
So she's agile. She's got two dodges every turn.
Mm-hmm.
So again, come back to me with that.
I
was going to say
the
maybe
difference between her and R2 is huge, because that speed 2, speed 1 difference is big.
Yeah.
So maybe on the list I've just put forward to you, then I take out R2 and put Padme in, and then she runs behind the tank all game.
Because in the version I took to Sheffield, you didn't have R2 in that list, did you?
Oh,
Because me and you had very similar lists, didn't we?
The one I took to Sheffield, it was Padme still. I just never scored it in the end. We were very similar lists, I think.
I had R2 instead of Padme, I think.
Well, did you? Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah.
And we was like, oh, let's know, because we were both like, oh, which one's better?
She just didn't move, and she just, you know, did.
Quick thinking the whole time, yeah.
She can't do quick thinking anymore. She hasn't got that as an action.
But
it's sad.
But I was having R2 for the secret mission approach to leg him across the board, and that weekend he did like win me a game with secret mission on that logic. So I think if you took,
I think I still think Padme does that better because she's speed two.
Yeah, and the nimble and agile.
With how far is it away from him? If she infiltrated, or like, well, if she's in about her deployment, how many speeds is it away?
Okay, so you start at range 1.5, which is 9 inches. And then your opponent's deployment zone is also 9 inches. So that's 18 out of a 4-foot board, which is 12, 24, 36, 48. So you've got 30 inches to cross.
Know 9 inches. Is that just two full activations of speed? Well, two activations of two double moving, right?
It'll be an activate. If you move, if you're double moving, it's 6, 12. Yeah, three turns. Yeah, so you should be able to score on turn three. Start of turn four, you'd score because you don't score turn three. You're in their deployment zone at the end of turn three to score start of turn four.
Right. Yeah. I still think she's a lot more viable if you start moving her later. You know.
Because you've got a turn there to play with, so you could score at turn five.
Yeah.
But then, one missed time though, you're screwed.
Situational.
True, I mean, but how many games? The first question would be to ask: how many games of yours went to turn five?
Last tournament, I think all but two.
Okay,
Because my list is very good at attrition, I had to get all of them down to turn five if I was to win, and a lot of them went down to kill points.
The two that didn't, was that because they were over beforehand or just it ran out of time?
Oh, it's pure, like, I just sniped them off the board. And then, like, with Toby, it ended turn four because he's lost Anakin, he lost too many guys, and
it was just a concession.
It was the ones with Ewok players, and, like, you know, I think those could have been really useful just to have Padme just to get that VP, and it's something for them to worry about too.
Yeah, I think that would be a sensible change to try. And it's just how you approach it and how you deploy her, I think, for her to then start legging it safely across the board.
This is so true. Yeah, yeah.
I'm coming up with something for you that is just going to be hilarious in a second, and I'll save it at the end. No, it's just, I would like to stress, not serious at all, but it would be just a bit fun. So I'm just going to chuck it and create it while take turns. Just 2 seconds.
Are we going to talk about the thing we've not talked about so far, deliberately? Of list building.
Do we need to talk about Anakin 501st?
Cool. No, we're done.
It's still relevant. It's taken its hits, but it's just, I think
I everyone, it was I think worth everyone mentioning might have fed up not mentioned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Just so people don't think that we're deliberately not making them lists.
No, we're being hip and cool.
There are other types you can build.
Yep.
Yep.
Which I think is now viable. I think if this was pre-points change, this would be a not sensible conversation to be having.
I've got something for you now. Here's the funny thing I thought. Now, mind you were having a conversation earlier about ISPs being line of sight blockers and quite nippy and all this sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
This is where I've gone. Cody, nothing on him. I could stick scopes. I've got 9 points spare. I've just literally made this on the fly. It's 10 activations. Cody, Bad Batch, Padme, R2 with HQ uplink. clone trooper infantry, boil and a medic. Clone trooper infantry, boil and a medic. Two clone trooper infantry with a captain and engineer. And triple ISPs with the pilots, twin blasters, and the link target array. And I've got 15 points to spare. So it's like, just run the ISPs and hide everything behind it and just go, and here I am.
It's mental. There's nothing on the other side of it, though.
What's that?
It's just going to die.
I mean, I just like to say, it's there for
James isn't on this podcast all the time, but his face in some of these, when you're reading out your list, has been amazing. I'm glad we now record this because, and you should go watch it. Yeah. It wasn't during this one. It was the other one where he read out his list. Your eyes like glazed over. And it was just like...
I keep forgetting it's recorded.
Oh, it's perfect and amazing in every single way.
Well, I'm going to say
it's like your eyes were glazing over at Cockle's list, and I was just like, this is how me and Ollie feel all the time.
All I'm going to say is last time Ollie dissed one of my lists, he went and lost to me and had a song that sung after him. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, well, happily bring that along to the next one, Cockles, because even with my current
I'm not going to bring that one. That was just me having it up for absolute lols. But I might try the tank with Padme running behind as the to quickly get a secret mission thing. And because it's tank, it's still 10 activations. It's tank and bad batch hard to shift. And the tank, it's got that's a dual threat. And the tank with the beam cannon is sticking out one big shot and then two plinky things, which is not to be sniffed at, because just as you were saying about attrition, James. The thing that's good with the tank is the commandos. It's just like, okay, sure, I'm not going to shoot the big shot into the commandos. I'm just going to take pot shots with the beams and just go, there's a wound, roll and save that. There's a wound, roll and try and save that, that sort of thing. I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm just saying that's the tactic. And then you've still got Bad Batch, who still do clever things. And all that kind of
stuff. I would say the counter to any beam weapon is Obi-Wan. It means nothing. These beams, doesn't matter, mate.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm yet to be sold on beam completely, because it relies on a lot of opponents keeping the units at range one. Clones still do that. Rebels don't. Empire don't. CIS, maybe they do.
Not anymore.
They really need B2s, yeah. So I'm still not sold on beam actually being decent. I'd like to be proven wrong, but
it did all right at MKGT, but I just took that again, no practice, and just went, yeah, I'll do, and it was fun.
But when I asked you on day two how you were getting on, and you was like, oh, this list is awful, wish I'd never brought it.
I don't think I said that.
You were like,
I said it was awful it's awful, but I'm having fun.
Well, I didn't say you weren't having fun, because that's the only thing you know how to do, Cockles. But
say, don't try hard, don't have any expectations, it's all fun.
Yeah.
But I think that it's worth investigating and seeing what goes on with it. And indeed, there will be, we haven't even touched on Yoda. And you say he's unplayable. I had that as an initial take, and then I'm thinking, right, now we just need to think of new ways to use him instead.
There is none.
I think he's dead.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not enthusiastic about
170 points for nothing.
I'm not enthusiastic about him. Don't get me wrong. But I'm trying to think, is there a way that, as Jeff said, I'm just quoting Jeff, it just takes time for things to think about new ways of using, if that makes sense.
Guidance is ruined. I don't.
Yeah.
He you can't play him. Anything that he was good with now. I mean, half the reason why I used to take him in the old version is for guidance all the time. Yeah.
100%.
I can't. That needs to be reverted.
I completely agree, but yeah. It's just, I'm just trying to, like I say, trying to think of new ways. And is it a case that maybe he is, and the problem is, again, are you going to spend 170 points plus force powers on an expensive support piece?
Anakin's the same price, though. Anakin's the same price. I can't get over it.
The only thing Yoda does better than Anakin is Yoda hits more consistently.
Yeah, and I'd argue the order control is probably slightly better as well.
For one turn.
That's why I said slightly.
Well, two turns if you got when you recycle the card.
But he doesn't have Tempted, though. Tempted's so broken.
Yeah. And you don't get the extra white dice on the...
No, you don't. No. And you can saber throw that as well. Fun.
Yeah, that is quite cool. I still like that.
here's a thought. Is it worth him running him as a 190 force barrier with burst of speed?
Obi
does it 10 times better. I think this is Yoda's problem now, because he can either be a beat stick, which Anakin does for cheaper. Mm-hmm. He can be a support piece and keep things alive, which Obi does for cheaper. Obi-Wan does
better, yep.
Or you just run him as an objective thing. Oh, wait, you can't, because there are no objectives to interact with.
His whole function in a list has gone. Yeah, 100%.
The only saving grace between him and Palpatine is Palpatine's one still works.
Hmm.
Guidance doesn't, there's no benefit to it now, apart from, all right, I can move my Wookiees up the board quicker still. Yay. But I'm spending 170 points to do that.
I'm not, again, stressed.
To keep Yoda in range of your Wookiees or arcs to help them move even quicker across the board, you've got to take Rex to scouting party Yoda up the board quicker. So now, not only have I spent 170 points with no upgrades, I've also spent another 95 points to make my 170 points relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't mind doing, because before I was going to take Yoda, Rex, and Bad Batch. That was going to be what I was going to start practicing for Worlds.
Same.
But
I was all about the Yoda, Rex, Bad Batch.
Yeah.
I wonder if Chewie and Yoda has any play at all. Just because they have that one command card that makes Chewie unkillable.
Oh, what, the red deflect, yeah.
Yeah, and they can just use the dodges. I mean, that's the only thing that I can think may still work.
So what, you play that turn two, and you can yeet Yoda into melee, essentially, but you can't attack that turn.
I'm just clutching at stuff here.
You're not wrong, but I mean, it's 260 points with zero upgrades. So I spent a quarter of my army to do that. I'd take a Wookiee Chieftain over anything else. And that's the other thing. A Wookiee Chieftain's cheaper than Yoda.
Yeah.
And is probably a scarier melee threat.
Yeah.
Would you... again, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. I'm just trying to see. Would you consider a Yoda and Chewbacca thing? Because then you can get Yoda up the board really quickly. And you were saying about beat sticks.
Did we just have this conversation?
Cool. Really, should just...
I've muted for 5 minutes.
My brain might have just completely glossed over something. Then I'm trying to think. There, would you consider it?
No. Short answer. No one Yoda front for commander.
I think it's really difficult for clones at the moment, because everyone keeps saying they keep running the same things, arcs, commandos. It's because the other stuff just isn't good. The Saber Tank isn't good enough. Cody's not good enough. Yoda's now not good enough. Padme is hit or miss. R2's not playable. I feel like we're just...
We're just waiting for
the next unit to drop, really.
We also haven't even said the LAT.
don't even need to.
Yeah. Maybe that's another one. Need that. Joe Austin will be upset if we don't mention it, but there we go.
Joe will be very upset.
Yep. We touched on commandos, but we didn't say about Delta Squad now. I don't think there's any... You just that extra 15 points over... I think
there is a place for Delta now.
If you were to use one commando, I think, just one by one, maybe by itself.
501st, because they could only take two, can't they?
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I think they're the two situations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we said about Barks. You taking swoop bikes? Everyone's going...
I just think speeders are just really... awful, especially when the two model units, because as soon as you lose one bike, the other's useless. Barks at least keep their dice pool, I suppose, for a little while longer.
I would rather take Fluttercrafts in a Gar army. Yeah,
I think I would too.
Yep, I think so. I'm just trying to see. And then yeah, we've got the ATRTs there. I mean, the ATRTs have got a place if you're going to do, it depends what you're doing with something with them. I think an ATRT with a flamer has a place, but it's a situational.
An ATRT is quite solid at the moment with the laser cannon.
Yeah.
Both are rebels and
Plinky damage.
The Plinky, but also like you've got your scout move, so you can walk on, you can aim and shoot turn one with a range 4 weapon. Turn two, you can move forward onto your home POI, that's yours. And you can just sit there and fire away. And for your opponent to shoot back at you at range 4, they've got to have impact. Mm. Otherwise, they're just fishing for crits and your red saves, your red saves for Gar.
Which is quite big, actually. I feel like a little bit for the Rebels.
Huge.
So, yeah, I think they're quite safe, good home objective grabbers. And if they're still alive later in, you can just double move and they're quite fast because of the size of the base to grab another objective if needed.
Yeah.
The only thing is, commanders are so good. The same slot.
But it's the points difference. So yeah. I think that's what makes it interesting now. That I think previously there was never a contention in you would take commandos over, like you'd never take an ATRT because it was the same cost or it wasn't much point difference.
Yeah.
But an ATRT with a laser cannon is only 70 points, where a naked commandos is 90. And that's before you add your HQ uplink or any other upgrades you add to them as well. So now if you put a HQ uplink on them at commandos, you're looking at a 30-point difference. So if I take two ATRTs versus two clone commandos, now that's 60 points. Now that's a unit of clone troopers I can take. That's an activation difference. Now we're talking. So I think there's an argument for it now, where definitely previously you wouldn't even think twice about it.
I think if you are going to go down the ATRT route, you could try and get to 11 or 12 acts.
Yeah.
To make it more solid, because I just don't think they do enough at 10 acts. I don't think you could run it with 10.
You've got to be making the most of that point difference, yeah.
I think so. You may persuade me, Andy. Maybe.
My current track record, mate, I'm going to persuade you, and it's going to be the worst decision you've ever made in your life.
To end on a little Republic section, I've got a list, and this will remain anonymous from who this is in, and I'm going to tell you what's in it. So, really, it's 9 activations, 1,000 points. Cody with aggressive tactics, and then another clone commander. Core, which has fives, and a clone infantry squad. So, big squad with fives. Excuse me, and environmental gear. Clone troopers with Waxer, clone troopers with Boyle, and then two infantry with an engineer. And then two saber tanks.
Two saber tanks.
One with the veteran pilot, high energy shells, armor piercing shells, and linked target array. The other with Iota Secura, who, by the way, I just put by, I think she's pretty handy these days. It's, I think, an extra inspire where. Inspire is hard to get in Republic is pretty handy. High energy shells, armor piercing, and linked target array. I'm not going to say who that is. Just who do you reckon? No, not who do you reckon. What do you reckon, boys? 9 activations as well.
Cockles, stop sending in lists.
It's not me. It's not me. I promise you. I'm not daft enough to go double saber. That would be Tom Smith. Give you that one.
How many activations is that coming at?
Nine.
So
do you know what the biggest issue I have with that list is?
Go on.
It's the two clone engineers.
It doesn't matter.
The tanks are hard enough to kill as it is.
Without maneuver as well, yeah.
I would rather drop the engineers. Instead of that naked squad doing nothing, give them a portable scanner so they can just chuck dodges on the tanks to make them even more like.
Do scanners work on tanks? I didn't have any
dodges. Yeah, it could work on any unit.
I thought there was just a trooper unit, but that's
any unit.
Anything will do.
I don't know if it's good. It's something. It exists.
It exists. It's out there in the world.
Very, very political there, Jay.
All I'm going to say is I would like Tom to run that in a video. There we go. Do you know what? I think
we'll wrap, very pretty.
I think we'll wrap up our. I think we'll wrap up our Republicathon on this one. If you have any thoughts and queries on what we've said about republics and the stuff today, please feel free to talk to us on our Discord, messages and comment on the post on Facebook and stuff like that, which is all gravy, man. We'll move on to, we'll do events first next. So, because Andy exists, so events.
Yeah, so the next event I am running will be the Nottingham GT. And I'm going to go to Legion Events app.
Legion Events app.
To double check the date of that, because I know it's in January. And it is like
16th, 18th,
the 11th and 12th of January.
Ooh.
So if you are after a nice Christmas present and you want to go to an event early, then look at asking for that for Father Christmas if you've been a good boy. If you've not been a good boy and you are not allowed to go out and play in January, then look at buying your Chopper Base Open ticket instead, because there is an early bird special going on. So anyone who purchases tickets between well, when the tickets first went on sale and December the 31st, we've currently got two sponsors offering out prizes for anyone who buys their ticket before December the 31st. We have already sold a quarter, and that is over 32 tickets, by the way, which is stupid when I say it like that. Because when you say like a quarter, you're like, oh, there's loads left. And I'm like, that's still 32, which is nearly the first year's attendance, like, which is crazy. We had 52 people the first year, and we've already sold out like the same amount in pre-orders this year. Crazy times. But yeah, that's obviously later in the year, which is 16th and 17th of August, and that is being held in Peterborough. Otherwise, yeah, get to it.
Get to it. Get on it.
Otherwise, the Milton Keynes monthly events will return in January, because I do not want run one in December.
Everyone needs its time off now and again.
I do get a month off now and again. but otherwise, I think that's it on my front. I was just having a look around. There is events at Alpha this weekend.
Yes, Alpha this weekend, which is going to be normally Alpha do a nice friendly everyone's a newbie tournament, but all of a sudden people are descending. So that'll be good fun either way, because it'll be a good learning experience for many people.
If you are further north, there is also a tournament at the Outpost in Sheffield. That is also on Saturday the 7th. I believe it's a kind of two-dayer, by the looks of it, actually, 7th to the 8th.
Yep.
But they're using a store kit, the Ahsoka ones, which are really hard to get hold of. And they've got some really cool acrylic-y, glossy commandos and Ahsoka in it, I think. The higher up you place.
Yep.
And then I think Justin's got his Life Day Massacre in the 18th and 19th of January as well.
Cool. There is also 14th of December Darkfire in St Albans. It's got an event going on down there.
Did I miss that?
Saturday. I don't know why, mate. I just know it's there because it's down south near my way. I don't know if I'll be able to go. My wife's going out and she's like, no, you can't go out in the day and then going out in the evening, because I've got my work Christmas do in Colchester having a curry that night as well. So there we go. It's me literally like, you can't go out twice. It's like, okay, fair play. So yeah, there's many events on there. If you want to know how to get your event on there, wherever you are in the globe, be it Australia, Canada, New Zealand, England, France, Germany, wherever, you may go to legionevents.app, and there is a link on there and it tells you how you can do it, and Jeff and Elliot will sort that out and make it happen and stuff. Other things on there, I won't do it now, but we'll do an update for the charity NFL league, because that's coming to a close soon in the end of December. I think it's safe to say Andy, Ollie and Jack will not be having any money donated to the charity of choice. I'm in with a shout. We'll see what happens. I don't think I'm going to win it, but I think one of the Stabcast, excuse me, That's No Moon America, will be winning it. One of those guys, I think. What else is going on? Obviously, this will be our penultimate show of the year. The next show will be recorded on the 17th of December, and will be our Christmas fun time special thing that we did. If you remember that, we had that last year. It was actually really good fun. We had a couple of patrons on. We had, what was it? There was 12.
It was crazy.
It was 12 of us. It was really, really fun. We're going to replicate that. And I've made arrangements that one of our first patrons who supported us is going to be on. And it's not Haslam. It's not Rich College. Mr. Rhys Giffen in the States, who is our first like non-English supporter, might well be on, which could be awesome if you can. Other than that, that's the show for today. James?
Whilst I'm on here, I wanted to say that Jose, who hosted the Welsh GT, is running like about a tournament every month in Firestorm in South Wales. So it's all on the Firestorm Battlefields website. He's got like a friendly tournament and then a competitive one, and for anyone every single month from like, you know, January to June-ish or May time. So if you're down in the area, look on Firestorm website and get involved, guys. Nice to see you there.
Well, so, you know, when I say goodbye to people, I say, is there anyone you'll shout out? You just totally preempted it and it worked out well there.
Sorry.
It's because you listen to the show a lot. You knew that was going to happen. James, if people want to contact you about your list and talk to you about having a game of Legion or whatever down Somerset way, how might they be able to do it if you want them to without them having to go to a doctor?
Definitely don't come to see me in the same hospital I live.
Triple one. Can I speak to James, please? What about? my list building, please.
Kenobi dice failed me, you bastard.
Yeah.
Do you want to contact me? I'm not a doctor. if you want to contact me, it's James White, and I'm on Facebook. I need to get on Discord. I'm probably on Discord. I think it's James RG1 or something like that. I'm on Discord. I might be on the That's Immune Discord now. I'm a patron.
Well, you should be, because there's an automatic link on how to do it. If not, I'll send you the link in a bit. Andy, if people want to contact you, how do they do it?
They can drop me an email at andy@thatsnowmoonpodcast.com.
Yes. How long has he said to take it the first time? He's done it for the first time there.
Or you can grab me on Discord, AGST, or Facebook, or any usual Dog Corner Munching website.
DogCornerMunchingWebsite.com.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to look that
just
up.
Just embrace there, it. It's the best way.
Obviously, if you have questions about events and stuff like that, speak to Andy. If you have questions, and because Tom is, as I said a few weeks ago, Tom's going to be starting up recording some battle reports now that he is.
Once I get him the gear back.
Well, there is that as well.
Which has been great, because I recorded Cardiff.
Exactly. So he'll be starting to record some stuff back up now that his child is slightly older and he has a bit more free time. They've adapted their life. He knows what's going on, how to change a nappy, how to keep a human alive, that kind of thing. Contact him, tom@thatsnowmoonpodcast.com on the emails. And if you have battle video suggestions, you can go to him as well. As I said earlier, there'll be some videos coming out soon from Jack about how to paint the sleep cell and how to paint the riot squad, which we saw some secret shots and they look pretty cool, because Jack's a damn fine painter. He's a damn fine man. I'm Cockles. You can contact me, Cockles Faulkner, at thatsnowmoonpodcast.com about some sponsorship stuff. Ollie and I are working together on that, some stuff. Or general queries. If you want to help, if you want me to try and, or us to try and help you find games or players in your local area, you can contact us and we can try and see if we can hook you up with some people in your vicinity. That is not a problem. So this is a shout out for people in York. If you are in York, shout out for you. We want to hear from you, because there's some people in York who want to play and they need to know where and all this sorts of stuff. Lastly, yeah, that's it. Andy, have I forgotten anything? No. James,
that's
anything?
Good.
No, never forgot anything. No, that's fine. No. You've been listening to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast. I've been joined by Andy and James. Thank you. Say goodbye, boys.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I've been Cockles. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
You've been listening to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast. To keep up to date with us, please like and follow us on Facebook. That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast, and Instagram, That's No Moon Podcast.